Thank the boys and girls once again for coming and singing for us. I wonder, could we turn just for a moment to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And reading from verse 1 of the chapter. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning our reading at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we just bow again in a short word of prayer? Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for what we have already heard today. We thank thee for the glad message of redemption through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who came and left heaven's splendor, knowing his destiny. But our God, we pray that we might come face to face with thee afresh this morning. Thy blessing would be upon us, and that we might know that God is here, and that to bless us, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Although the Bible does not specify the exact date of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does give us some indication of the timing when it took place, because we read here in Matthew 2 and verse 1, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. And we can at least say for sure that the Lord Jesus was born at the time when Herod was king. There are a number of different Herods in the Bible. We need to make sure that we keep them separate and know which one they are. They're all members of the one family, but of course they are different individuals. We could get them mixed up. The one who is mentioned here is the one who is known in history as Herod the Great. And he was appointed Tetrarch of Judea in 41 BC. Shortly after that, he was driven out by the Jews. But by 37 BC, he had come back again. And he had conquered Jerusalem and Judea by the aid of the Romans. This Herod was the great builder. He was the one who built the temple that was in existence when the Lord Jesus was upon the earth. He was an Idumean, he wasn't a Jew, but he built many things and was a builder of the temple at that time. When we were in Jerusalem or in Israel there in the summertime, there was an aqueduct which had been built to bring water into Caesarea, and that had been built by Herod the Great. So he was a great builder. He left many evidences of his reign around about that still even exist to this day. But while there were many good things that were Herod's legacy, the great amount of what he left was not good. Because Herod was a megalomaniac, he was a fanatic, He was a despot haunted by fears. In fact, he came to the throne by means of really what was murder. He murdered 5 Maccabean princes and princesses on the way to the throne and thought nothing of putting people out of the way by means of murder. In fact, his own wife, he had, in fact, I think 10 wives, but he had several wives anyway, but his favorite wife, the one that he is said to have loved, was by the name of Mariamne. Now, she hated him, but he loved her. He is the only one that he is said to have truly loved. But when he found, when he thought that she was conspiring against him, he immediately had her put to death. That's the way that Herod operated. He thought nothing of executing anybody that was going to get in his way. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote of Herod the Great's reign, and he said this, and I quote, that he did not permit the citizens either to meet together or to walk or to eat together, but watched everything they did, and when they were caught, they were severely punished. He ran a police state. He was an ancient version of Hitler or Stalin. He had spies everywhere to make sure that he knew what was going on. And when these wise men from the east, however many there were of them, came into the land of Judea, you can be sure that Herod already had known about it. As these men came with their camels from the east into the land, you can be well aware that Herod had been warned in time about these men approaching. And yet when they came, the message that they brought was even more alarming to Herod than their presence. Maybe he wondered why they had come. Well, maybe he wondered why they had made such a journey away from the eastern regions into the land of Judea. But when he got the message that a new king had been born, we read that something of fear began to grip his heart, and all Jerusalem went into a state of fear. But you know, his reaction to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was going to see his eternal destiny. And the reaction of each one of us to the Lord Jesus Christ seals not only our legacy, but our destiny as well. Because the great question for our souls, men and women, young people, boys and girls today, is what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You might have many ambitions for your life and many things that you want to do, but what will you do with Jesus? Tell me, what will your answer be? For someday your soul may be asking, what will Jesus do with me? And so for a few minutes this morning, I want us to look at Herod the Great here. I want you to see his reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you today to make sure that his reaction is not the reaction that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, men and women, meet with him in the midst of everything, in the hustle and the bustle, in the midst of all that you have to do over the next number of days, and I've been doing over the last number of days, make sure that you meet with the blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at Herod here. Let's see what we can learn about him. And the first thing I want you to see is the terror that he felt. Look at verses 1 to 3 of Matthew chapter 2 here. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And then it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was troubled by the news of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't something that he greeted with joy. It wasn't something that he got a party up for and had a great celebration over. The news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that first Christmas time really brought fear into the heart and mind of not only Herod, but we're told all Jerusalem with him. Because they knew that if Herod reacted in fear, and if Herod began to have a fear about what was going to take place. It was going to mean trouble for them as well. Because they well knew what Herod was capable of. And if there was going to be a war, if there was a new king that had been born, and Herod was going to go out and battle against this new king, then they knew that they were the people that were going to suffer. You know, there are a lot of people who react to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ with fear. React to the news of the Savior with fear and alarm. It's not something that brings joy to their hearts. Because maybe you say to yourself, well, I don't want any of this religion. Religion will only bring conflict. Religion always brings contention. I don't want contention in my home. I don't want to face what it will mean for me to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're fearful today when you hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the only thing that you think that Christ will bring to you is contention. Or he will bring something that will turn your world upside down and will bring something into it that will turn it into something that has never been before. Well, men and women, he will turn your world upside down, but he will bring life where there's death. You see, I would rather have contention and I would rather have difficulty than to have the peace of the grave. Because today, outside of Christ, you're dead in trespasses and in sin. There's a lot of peace in the grave. There's not a lot to disturb in the grave. But thank God when you come to Christ, you might have turmoil. And it might turn your world upside down. But thank God there's joy. The angels sang that they brought good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. And that's what we preach today. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants to bring into your heart. Not contention, not alarm, not fear, but the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Because men and women, he can take your sin. He can take the conviction of your heart. He can take those things that have ruined your life. Those things that you harbor in your soul. And those things that you know that are not right about you. And he can change you. And thank God you're a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ when you come to him. Oh, here was Herod and the whole of the city of Jerusalem. And when they heard the true message of Christmas, it brought them fear. And maybe that's the same with you today. But really, it brings peace. At the end of the day, it brings peace. And oh, the peace my Savior brings. Peace I never knew before, for my way has brighter grown since I learned to trust him more. Oh, here's Herod, and he's full of fear. Why did he fear? Well, he feared a new king. The wise men said to him that the one who would be born, or the one who had been born, was the king of the Jews. Do you know this? Herod was the king of the Jews. Herod sat on that throne that the new king had been born to occupy. This was his throne. He was the governor of Judea. He was the king of the Jews at that time. And he feared because if this new king was going to take the throne, it meant that he and his posterity were going to be driven off the throne. And that's what he feared. And maybe you're here today and the Lord is not the king of your life. There's a throne in your heart. It's a throne that the Lord Jesus should occupy. It's a throne where he should be seated. You know, he has made us. He has formed us. We are his creatures. And he has made us to be in fellowship with him. He has made us to be his servants, to be his workmen and his workwomen. But a lot of people today, in their sin, have driven the Lord Jesus off the throne of their lives. You want to run things yourself. You will not have this man to reign over you. You want to do your own thing and go your own way. As the prophet Isaiah said, we have turned everyone to his own way. And that's the way that people run their lives today, isn't it? They want to run their own way. They want to go their own way. The Lord is not on the throne of their life, but he is born to be the king of your life. The hymn writer said, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. The Lord wants to be the King of your life. He must be the King of your life. If you're to know salvation, if you're to know blessing, oh men and women, put him on the throne of your life. You've run your life long enough now and made a right mess of it. You've run your life long enough now, and if you haven't made a mess of it already, then you're heading that way. But if the Lord Jesus is on the throne, he will bring us into glory, he will bring us into his kingdom, and he will give us blessing for all of God's eternity. Well, that's why Herod was troubled at the birth of Christ. Because he didn't want the Lord Jesus on the throne that he occupied. He was occupying the throne that the Lord Jesus should have occupied, and so he did not want him. But not only was he troubled about that, but he felt that if the Lord Jesus was going to be on the throne of his life, he would lose out. He was going to lose out with all the influence. He was going to lose out on the power that he had. And he was afraid of the loss of power. He was afraid of the loss of influence. You know, there are people who are not saved because it might affect their business. There are people who are not saved because it might affect their social standing. There are people who are not saved because it might mean that they'd have to change their friends. But men, women, you'll never lose out. You never lose out by coming to Christ. You might lose something of the work, but let me tell you this, you'll gain far more. There's far more to be found. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, men, women, come to him today and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I better move on here because our time is rapidly going. So we see the terror that he felt. But also I want you to notice the testimony that he heard. Because there were two testimonies that he heard. He heard the good news from two sources. First of all, he heard it from the sages, the wise men, the magi from the east. And you remember they came and they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. And Herod knew that these men had come a long distance. And at that time, you need to remember that there was a general expectation, in fact, a fervor, all over Judea and all over Israel, that the time of the Messiah was nigh. They looked on the prophecies, and they could see that this was the time when the Messiah, the Christ of God, would be born. And there was a general expectation. Now here were these sages from the east come hundreds of miles. They had seen a special star. They had received the message. In whatever way they got the message, I don't know. But they had seen the star. They had read the signs. And they said, where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And Herod knew that that was real. He knew that that was real. He knew that there was something real about this. He knew that the star was real. But men, women, he didn't want to meet this Savior. You notice what he did. He reacted in fear. And he reacted in hypocrisy. And he began to pretend that he wanted the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to the wise men, you go and find out where he is. And when you find out, come back again and tell me all about it, because I will go and worship him. Hadn't a bit of intention of worshiping him. Hadn't one notion of worshiping him. But he loved to pretend. You know, there are a lot of people who love to pretend. And when they get into a church service, or when they see the minister, oh, they have all the language. You know what to say and what not to say. And you know the way that you should react and the way that you should do things. And you come along to church and you have everything nicely sorted out as far as what you should do in church is concerned. But you don't worship him. You don't worship him. Because you're like Herod. You have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You have turned your back upon the blessed Redeemer, the one who came to die on the cross and shed his blood that you might be redeemed. You have rejected that Savior. And today as you come, there's a pretense. Oh, face up to men, isn't it a pretense? There's nothing real there. Salvation, you see, is real. When a person is really born again of the Spirit of God, when they want to come and worship Him, they will go with all their hearts. Oh, I say to you, come and worship Him today. Put away the pretense. Maybe there's a backslider here today, and you have been putting up something of pretense, but there's no reality. Oh, come to Him in reality today. They heard the sages. But then there was some other testimony they got, the scriptures. Because he said to the Pharisees and the scribes, go and find out from the Bible. Go and find out from the scriptures where Jesus should be born. It says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And he got an answer. Verse 5 says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So he got an answer from the Bible. He wanted to know from the Bible where Christ was. He wanted to find Christ. And he got an answer from the Bible as to where the Savior was, where he could go and worship Him. Isn't it a privilege to find the answer from the Scriptures? Isn't it good we have a Bible? That you can take a Bible today. There are many places where you can't, even in this world in which we live. There are places where the Bibles are being confiscated from people. Even Christians don't have Bibles, but you have a Bible today. Oh, men, women, over this next number of days, take it down and read it. Take it down and read it. And see if you can get an answer to your soul in the Scriptures of truth. For there you will find the answer. Because all the Scriptures speak of Him and direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ. They direct you to the Redeemer. We see the terror he felt, the testimony he heard. He had the great privilege of hearing the Scriptures. So do you today, don't you? So do you. And then notice the tyranny he unleashed. Because having heard the warning, what did he do? We read that when the wise men didn't come back, they'd been warned of the Lord not to go back to Herod. And when the wise men didn't come back to tell him where the Savior was, we read what he did. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So he slew all the 2 year olds. He slew all the little ones. He believed that the Lord Jesus was something under 2 years of age at this time. So all who were under 2 years of age were slain. Now Herod didn't want to go that path. You can be well assured, ruthless as he was. Wicked as he was, murderous as he was, Herod didn't want to put little boys and girls to death. Didn't want to slay them. But the old saying is, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Will cost you far more than you want to pay. Sin brings you down. Brings you down. Always brings you further than you ever want to go. And here was Herod, and he had gone on the path of sin and the path of rejection of the Savior, and he ended up as the murderer of little children. What an awful thing. And attempting the murder of the Lord of glory. It's one of those satanically inspired attempts. You'll find that there are a number of satanically inspired attempts in the Bible to cut off the Messiah, because the devil doesn't want men and women to come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Herod didn't get away with it. The Lord's time hadn't come. Oh, he thought with all his power and with his command of the army and with the controls of the levers of power and with all his spies and the great power of a police state that he could do what he wanted. But you can't do what you want. You can't get away with it. Be sure, the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And we find that Herod didn't get away with it. Well, he thought he did for a while. He thought he'd gotten away with it. But you know, God knew all about what he was going to do. After all, the Lord warned the wise men not to go back to Herod. Well, Herod thought he had all his plans and his purposes concealed. But God knew what he was doing. And God knows your heart and he knows my heart. And it's only his mercy that saves us. It was up to your heart and my heart were condemned. But the Lord came to save. That's the good news of this time of year. The Lord has come to save. Save that which is lost. And if you're in this meeting outside of him today, he'll save you and wash you in his own precious blood. The tyranny he unleashed. One more thing, just briefly. The torment he experienced. Because here was this man rejecting the opportunity of going to the Son of God. What a mighty privilege to go there and see the place where the Savior was, to meet with him, to see him face to face. But Herod wanted his power. And Herod wanted his position. And Herod wanted his enjoyments, all that he had around him. He wanted his palace. You know, the Jewish historian Josephus tells us about the end of this man. It says that he had a disease, probably a form of cancer. A distemper is what Joseph had calls it. And he was deranged. Insanity as well. Insanity went because of the pain of the disease. And this is what Joseph says of that. It says it was by God's judgment upon his sins. Now that's a Jew speaking, not a Christian. It was by God's judgment upon his sins. And he was covered in sores to such an extent that they began to breed worms. And he was increasingly filled with paranoia to the extent that at the end of his life he felt that nobody would mourn his passing. And so he got all the eminent citizens of Jerusalem and he brought them into the hippodrome in Jerusalem and he had them slain because he gave the order that when he died, all the prominent citizens of Jerusalem would be slain and executed because he wanted to make sure that when he died, people would mourn. So he had his wealth when he died. And he had his position when he died. And he had his power when he died. Men, women, what good did it do him? What good did it do him when he went out to a Christ rejecter's hell? When he went out to a Christ rejecter's eternity? What good will all that you have in this world do you when you face that final hour? What good will all the power that you have in this world do you when you face time of your last breath? You see, that's why we need the Savior. And that's why he came from glory. That we, when we face our last hour, and when we draw our last breath, we'll know that we have eternal life. And we'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck us out of the Father's hand. So come to him today, be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, and make this a time when you receive the greatest of all gifts, the gift of the Savior. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our time has gone here, and we'll not sing this last hymn, but we'll just unite together, please, at the throne of grace. If God has spoken to your heart,
then I will be at the door. Just speak to me, and if you'd like to ask me something, or if you'd like to me to help you further, I'd be only too glad to help you. But meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee for today. We bless Thee for the boys and girls and for their taking part in the meeting. We'd ask Thee, Lord, that Thou hast parted us with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. But, O God, we pray that most of all we might take the Savior with us and we might know His forgiveness, His peace, and His blessing in our souls and in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen.